better put this thing on, much troubles I'm having today. Tonight, turning New Testament and the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter number 7. Luke chapter number 7, and we'll begin reading in verse number 36. And here we find the Lord going into the house of being invited into a house of one of the Pharisees, and some incident took place, and the Lord tries to teach him a lesson and teach everybody that was there the understanding that the Lord is able to take care of every need that is there for all of us. And so tonight I want us just to read starting in verse number 36, and we'll read down through the remainder of the chapter. Luke chapter number 7. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. And when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." Now the Pharisee reveals in his own heart, and is revealed to us in this reading, that he had a good title. He was a Pharisee. He looked down upon everyone else and was judging and judgmental of that lady. And the Pharisees were very good at that. They had had ability given to them from their own religion, that they sort of fed upon this thing of looking down and being better than everyone else. And so he said, if this man was a prophet, like everyone says he is, he would know what manner of woman was touching him and doing these things. Only problem was that he did not realize that Jesus was more than a prophet. He was God in the flesh. And as he thought within himself, he was talking to himself. Nobody else, as far as he knew, would know what he was saying. But the very next statement, Jesus in verse number 40, answering, said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he saith, "Master, say on." And there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgaveth the most." And he said to him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he saith unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" And he said unto the woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." Here we have the account, as we have read, of the conversation between the Lord and the Pharisee. And the Lord spoke to him, as he did many times to his own disciples. He spake to him in a parable, telling an illustration story, trying to reveal to him that the grace that was available to him was also available to her. This Pharisee said, "If this man was really a prophet, you know, one of the real enemies, one of the group enemies against the Lord, were the Pharisees. They were that religious group of the Lord's day that seemingly did everything just to the letter of the law. They made sure the dots were above the I's and the T's were crossed. They made sure that nothing was done on the Sabbath day according to their custom, and they lived what they felt was just a little bit higher than anyone else. And so this woman comes into the house of this Pharisee, and as they sit there, she comes behind him and she begins to anoint the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text tells us of a Pharisee and of a lady, and they both are sinners. The Pharisee didn't feel as though he was. The lady, this woman, knew that she was. And the Pharisee invited the Lord to eat with him in his house, and this woman came in with the alabaster box of ointment. And we know from other places in the Scripture that it was very precious ointment. We know it was very expensive of what she had. And she stands behind the Lord and she weeps. She stands behind him and she washes his feet with the tears from her eyes and dries them with the hair of her head. She kissed his feet. She anointed him. And the Pharisee was very irritated because of this, and he talked to himself about the situation. I can identify with that because I talk to myself a lot about different situations. We just sort of, sometimes we carry on conversations within our mind and nobody else knows that, but we also remember that the Lord knows what is in our mind, as he did with this man. And the Lord turns to him and he calls him by name. This is we don't know anything about him other than his name is Simon. And the Lord says, "I have somewhat to say to you. I've got something to talk to you about." And I'm sure the Pharisee thought, well, the Lord's going to, he's going to agree with me. He's going to take up my case. And he says, "Well, you say on." And so in these verses, 41, 42, and verse 44 through 48, here the Lord teaches him and gives him a lesson concerning the grace of forgiveness. He teaches him that he needs to understand that religion doesn't make any difference in his life. And he wanted him to understand that he was just as great a sinner as this woman. His sins maybe were covered by a cloak of deception. He may have looked well. He may have done well. But in his heart, he was a man that was judgmental of those others around, especially in this incident of this woman that has come to the place of eating. And so it was grace that the Lord was trying to give to him. And I mentioned this morning that all that we have to give to this world is the message of grace. We can't correct their problems. We can't take care of the needs of sinners, but I'm glad I know someone that can. I'm glad I know one that can deal with the need of the heart, whether it be a person like a Pharisee that thinks everything is well and good, or whether it be a woman that is known to be a sinner in the city, and it doesn't matter to the Lord, the grace is offered. Religion and the religious world, they have their way, and they have their candles they light, they have their things that they do, they have all the the things that that's listed in their religion, and they go through that, and they think they are okay. They think that everything is well, and even sometimes in the churches that are across our country, people are given a false hope or a false idea that just a certain way, certain things will make them be well and look right and do right, and that'll make them right with God. But it's not what we do that makes us right with God, it's what we have in our heart. Now, regardless of that, what we have in our heart will change our actions. It will change our doing, but our doing is not what changes our heart. And the world gets it all backward and in a wrong connection. And they think doing will make them right with God. But being right with God will make us do right with people and by people. Grace is all that we have to give to the lost sinner, whether they are religious and church members or whether they are out on the street corner and have nothing and have no way of escape. As time goes on, I believe we will see, and I believe the Bible teaches that sin will certainly increase. And I believe we see it on the increase even today. There are things that are openly spoken of today that just a few years ago would have been talked about in a dark corner. There are things that are done now that are open and in broad daylight that used to be done again in the darkness of the night. And so sin, as time progresses and as we get closer to the Lord, we will see that sin increases and raises its head and even almost dares you to say anything about it because they are Christian, quote unquote. Suffering, I believe, will become a badge of the child of God. This world tonight, other than maybe in our own country, in our world, Christians suffer drastically and very desperately in many, many places. We think maybe we are immune to that, but I'm sure that we are not. And I believe we will see in the days to come that suffering and that persecution that has been heard about and talked about all around the world, I believe it's already here in our country. And thank God we still have some rules and laws that hold it down. But as time progresses and we get closer to the coming of the Lord, and after the Lord comes, then everything breaks loose and everything will go according to the way of the wicked one. As time progresses, I believe we'll see the scriptures more attacked, and we'll see more things said about the Word of God, and we'll see more attacks on the Word of God than we ever have. I did not think I would ever read about in our country that there would be a state that's trying to make really the Word of God almost where it's against the law to even sell it, much less to preach it. And I'm fearful of what takes place in different areas because it always comes all the way down to all the other places. And so Satan is waging a war against the people of God. And the message is always against righteousness and holiness. And we find ourselves being accused of being the bad guy, being the one that is wicked. And that makes the sinner much harder to reach. The sinner today is much more stone-hearted than ever has been. He has not heard, he has not listened, and he has not been confronted with the pure gospel because the message is being so watered down by many places that people just really do not see the need of knowing the Lord. A lot of people do go through religious ceremonies and religious ways, but yet they have no understanding. They have no relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Is the remedy being like this Pharisee? Is the remedy saying they are worse than all others? Or is the remedy preaching the grace of God? I believe the remedy is taking the scripture and proclaiming truth and righteousness and to realize that they may not hear, but one day to know that they'll stand before God and will not be held accountable. The blood will not be on my hand or your hand if we tell somebody the truth concerning salvation. If we used to go to Walmart today, I heard it was pretty packed out today, the Christmas season, and somebody said if you took all the people in Walmart, you could fill up all the churches in the county, and that's probably true throughout the day. But if you go to any place of business or out on the street corner, and you begin to talk to somebody about the Lord, many of them will look at you like you really lost your mind. We have so educated ourselves in the secular understanding that we really do not, most people really do not believe that there is a God in heaven. They may give lip service to that, but they do not believe that because of the way that they live. But the remedy is the preaching of the gospel. The remedy is the preaching of the grace of God, because it will make the unworthy, it will make them acceptable. I'm glad to know one day I realized I was unworthy, but the Lord loved me. I was unworthy of His love. I was unworthy of His grace. I was unworthy of all the good things He had, but He offered them to us, and we believe that, we accept that. The grace of God will make a man that has been cursed because of his sin, will make him a blessed man because of the Savior. The message will be given, the salvation will be offered, and thank God, pardon is for the guilty. And so the Lord, when He said, Simon, I have, we would say it like this, Simon, I've got something I need to talk to you about. And Simon didn't realize, and if he had, he'd probably say, well, I don't want to hear it. As the Lord gave him the message, I believe he understood that he was just as much a sinner, maybe not in the view of everyone, but he was just as bad off as that woman that was there, that the whole crowd and the whole town knew that she was a sinner. And so the Lord gave her the message, and she came to know the Lord, and He says, thy sins are forgiven. Now, Simon must have been a very popular man. He must have been a very wealthy man, because as he sat down to eat the meat, as it's said here, there's many that are there with him, and they began to speak within themselves also. They didn't have enough courage to speak out loud, and so they were speaking again within themselves in verse 49, who is this that forgiveth sins also? Who is this man that says thy sins are forgiven? And so he turns to the woman once again, and he says, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. So tonight I want us to think about what grace does to a world that is so ungodly. What the grace of God can perform and what it has performed in our lives as believers. And we just a few things tonight, and then we'll go home. First of all, grace provides cleansing for the polluted. Those that are polluted by wickedness and ungodliness, you know who that is? That's everybody that's living. Everybody that is breathing air tonight is polluted by the sin of this world. But thank God tonight the Lord Jesus Christ died for the polluted. He died for those that were guilty of sin in their life. The Bible says in 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 7 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You and I tonight, we can have fellowship together because the blood of Christ has been applied to our heart. We can rejoice together, we can sing together, we can worship together, we can do things together because we have had cleansing in our heart because of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We walk in His light. We walk in the light of the gospel. We walk in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, for He is the light of the world. And therefore we can have fellowship one with another. Now, I can have fellowship with believers much easier than you can have fellowship with unbelievers. People that don't adhere to the gospel, people that have no care for God. We really have nothing in common. We have nothing to fellowship over. We have nothing that is there in the place where we can rejoice together, because you and I tonight, we've been cleansed from our pollution. We've been cleansed from our sins, and therefore we can have fellowship one with another. And so what the Lord was offering and giving in this parable to this man named Simon, to this Pharisee, and everybody there at the meal, they heard the words, and the lady heard the words, and he was trying to convey to them that whether we consider him a big sinner or a little sinner, thank God there's grace available. And who rejoices more, and who is given the peace is all of them. And he says, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And the Lord said to him, thou hast rightly said. And so the grace of God is given, whether we are considered in the eyes of men big or small sinners. I know, and you know from the Word of God, that we're all sinners. God doesn't type us out like we do. We classify people, we categorize people, but when all comes down to the bottom line, we're all sinners in need of a Savior. We're all sinners in need of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank God His blood cleanses us from all sin. Whether we think it's a big sin or a little sin, or a white lie or a black lie or a big lie or a little lie or whatever it is in our life, thank God He can forgive us and He can make us a new creature in the Lord. And this Pharisee certainly needed this, and this woman needed this. And so we can offer people is the grace of God that can clean them up. We've tried every program, we've tried every way to make people do better and live better and have a better life, but we've sort of put the Lord on the backside, and without Him they can't do any better. We've had all of our government programs, and those programs have all gone busted. We've had our free monies given. We've had all those programs to make people live better in better housing and better life, and it doesn't help. The only thing that will help a sinner, the only thing that will help someone that has been polluted by the wickedness of this world, is the grace of God that bringeth salvation unto them. And so pardon for the guilty comes through the grace of God. We can have not only those that are polluted, but thank God there's deliverance. Not only is there cleansing, but there is deliverance. We have been set free. Thank God tonight we are free. And John says, Jesus said, we are free indeed in the Gospel of John. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 10, talking about the Lord, says, who's delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver. He has delivered us from a great death. What is that? I believe it's the second death. And one day people will stand before God and He said, I don't know you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. And He says, we have been delivered. He has delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. I have been delivered. He is delivering. And thank God one day He's going to deliver me to His very presence. He's going to put me in the position and the place where one day I will be with Him, sit with Him. We'll be at the marriage supper. We'll be throughout all eternity enjoying the goodness of the Lord and the greatness of our God and the beauty of heaven, because we are a captive that have been set free. We are no longer under bondage. We're not under bondage to Satan. He has a rule in this world. The Bible says He's the God of this world. And I believe we see His world and His empire. We see He's over it, and wickedness prevails and ungodliness reigns and all the things of ungodliness, and people are captive literally at the will of the wicked one. But thank God He can break the captivity. I'm glad tonight, through the grace of God, He can deliver us as is spoken of here in 2 Corinthians. He has delivered us from so great a death. This world tonight is marching rapidly toward their eternal death. They are going just as hard and fast as they can go toward a devil's hell, and that's called the second death. I'm glad to have been born again, glad to have life, glad to have eternity. And we are people that have been captive, but now we've been set free. We have been in bondage of Satan. We've been in bondage to sin. We were in bondage to the ideas of our own self, to the captivating thoughts of our minds that would take us away from God. But one day He broke the shackles. One day He took away the bonds. And one day He took away the sin of our life, and we become a child of the King. And that's all we have to offer to the world tonight that's in captivity. We can't literally go in and break their bonds. We can't literally go in and take care of their shackles and their damnation, but we can preach to them that Jesus saves. We can give to them the salvation story, and there will be some that the bondage will be broken. There will be some that will hear the story and they'll believe. Now, there will be many that will not believe. There will be many that will stay in their bondage and stay in their sin, as many of these folks that we read about in the Scripture. When they were confronted with the gospel, when they were confronted with the good things of the Lord, they still turned away from God and turned away from the Lord Jesus Christ, and they died in their captivity. They died in their sin. And so we find that tonight, cleansing is offered for those that are dirty or polluted. Deliverance is offered for those that are in captivity. And a lot of people, most people tonight, are in captivity and they don't even realize it. They don't even understand. They don't even know how far down the road they are. They don't even realize how close they are to eternity. They don't realize how close they are to dying without a hope in this world. And many of them don't even believe. There was not too long ago, one of the probably considered the smartest man, one of the smartest men that has ever lived. And he was attacked by a disease in his body. He couldn't talk. He couldn't walk. And he made the statement that God was just a fairy tale. That there's no such thing as heaven or hell. And no such thing as righteousness and holiness. But you know, the moment he drew his last breath, he realized how uneducated he was. He realized how uninformed he was and how much he denied. And so we find that people are captivated by wickedness. People are under bondage by the ungodliness of this world, but thank God he can deliver. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to take care of the needs. He's able to take care of the prodigal. He's able to take care of those that are in sin. I think about the prodigal son. There's a grace for him. And that story that was given there in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. He's not going to come back as a servant. The prodigal had it all figured out. He said, "In my father's house, there are servants and they are living better than I am. And so I'll just go back and be like one of the servants." But the father, when he saw his son coming from a long way off, he said, go kill the fatted calf. My son that was dead, he is now alive. And of course that story gives to us and the message of salvation, the father being representative of God and the prodigal representative of a man coming to know the Lord. He says, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. That shows a reception that is there. I'm glad one day I was received of the Lord. I'm glad one day he took me in. I'm glad he didn't look at who I was and what I was and the need that I had. Only thing he did was clean me up and take care of me, put a ring of sonship and a robe of righteousness and shoes that would be able to be used for the goodness of the Lord and the good things of God. And so we have to offer just the message. I've had people come, and I'm sure others have had folks come into church and say, what do you have to offer us? All we have to offer is the gospel. All that we have to offer is the message of salvation. All that we have to offer is the grace of God that can take us and make us a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he gives cleansing for those that are polluted by sin. He gives deliverance for those that are captivated by Satan. He gives grace to the prodigal that we come home to his father, and thank God we have an inheritance. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance," and then he describes it. It's incorruptible, it's undefiled, it fadeth not away, and thank God it's reserved in heaven. This country, America, has a reserve. It has a reserve of oil, it has a reserve of money, it is in reserve so that if a disaster happens, it is there to be used. Well, I have a reserve also, and it's the wonderful inheritance that God has given to us. It is reserved in heaven for us. It's undefiled. It doesn't fade away. It's not used by the crooks. It's not used by the people that would use it wrongly. It's reserved for us. And one day when we get to heaven, thank God, we'll occupy the place that the Lord has for us. Even though I may be a beggar and have nothing as far as the world is concerned, I heard a fellow say the other day that if they won $1 million from the lottery, that still wouldn't be enough to retire on. I thought, buddy, $1 million would be enough for me to retire on. I believe it'd be enough for all of us to retire on. Maybe his lifestyle is much better than mine, much greater than mine. But you take $1 million, I believe, 67 years old, I believe I could live on $1 million till I die. But I've got much more than that in heaven. I have eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And may be a beggar as far as the world is concerned, but we are rich when it comes to the things of the Lord. We are rich according to his glory. He has taken us that are poor, and he's made us rich. The Bible says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. I'm a beggar here, but I'm going to be rich there. And I'm rich here as far as the blessings and the goodness of the Lord. And the grace of God has made it possible that one day I'll step into glory, and one day I'll have the riches of eternity. He became poor that I might be made rich. He became a sinner that I might become one day sinless. He became a man that one day I could be that perfect man and go to heaven without any ungodliness upon me. Thank God that he has enriched us. He has given us. He has entitled us. And one day we'll take that. One day we'll occupy. He has given us joy for misery. He's given us hope when we had no hope. The Bible says, the angel, when Jesus was born, says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." When you think about the Lord, it's all about joy. It's all about the goodness of our God. And here this Pharisee, he looked down upon this woman, and he was just a sinner as she was. He was just as miserable as she was. And he talked within himself, and the Lord knew what he said. And he said, "I've got something to tell you." And he was showing him and trying to teach him that grace is available to everyone. Grace is available to every sinner that has ever lived or ever will live. And thank God, heaven one day will be ours, even though we deserve hell. Somebody says, I heard somebody say that the Lord ought to give everybody what they deserve. But if he did, we'd be in trouble. I'd be in trouble. You'd be in trouble. God, through his mercy and through his grace, does not give us what we deserve. He gives us what he's reserved for us. He has given us a place called heaven. He has delivered us. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, And verse number 13, He's delivered us from the power of darkness, the power of the wicked one. That's enslavement that we talked about a moment ago. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, and He has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. We've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and been set for the kingdom of light. We've been taken from the kingdom of Satan and has translated us into the kingdom of His Son. And so, you and I tonight, we have much been given to us. Much is required of us. We're to tell and we're to give the story. And He's made heaven available to hell-deserving sinners. That woman was no worse than that man. That man was no worse than that woman. It was just what was known about them. And so, availability of the grace is to everyone that will call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a movement across our country tonight that has raised its head many, many times that only the chosen can get saved. Well, I'm glad one day He chose me because of my faith and belief and trust in Him. Thank God salvation is to all that will call upon Him. It's not just to a select few, it's to everyone that will call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God the gospel is to go forth, and we're to spread that gospel, we're to give that story, and we're to tell people, maybe just like this man named Simon, you think you're good, but let me tell you, here's the story. Here's the illustration. Here's the parable. Which one's the worst? Doesn't matter, big debt, little debt. Both had debt, and they could only be forgiven. And the Lord told this woman, "Thy sins be forgiven." And He said to the woman, it's interesting here, her salvation is based the same way as my salvation. For by grace are you saved through, what's the word? Faith. And Jesus said to this woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." Thank God tonight we have peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace given to us in a world that is so totally overwhelmed by confusion. But my heart has peace. My soul has peace. And one day I'll enter into the very presence of the Lord, and it'll be because my faith has made me whole. And believing and trusting in His grace that has given us life eternal. So all we have tonight in the Christmas season or Easter season or whatever season you want to talk about as far as the religious world is concerned, all that we have to offer is, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of works. It's not of the good deeds that we do. It's not what we try to work up and accomplish. But it's given to us freely by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our faith makes us whole. I'm thankful tonight that all through this scripture, we have the message given to us from Genesis to Revelation. Every person that's ever believed or is believing or will believe, and every person that ever goes to heaven, it's by faith, it's by grace. Somebody... They try to teach that salvation in the Old Testament is different than salvation today. I beg to differ. Salvation's always been by the faith in the Son of God. They looked for Him. Some looked at Him. We look back at Him. But it's all been because of Him. There are those that lived before He was born. There are those that lived when He was born. And there's those of us that have lived after He's born. But we are saved by believing the Word of God. Of what the scripture says, there is a deliverer that will come. And I'm glad, thank God He did come. I'm glad I heard the story, glad I believed, glad I had faith, and now all I have to do is tell others, for by grace are you saved through faith. Grace and faith work together hand in hand, always have, always will. And if a person goes to heaven tonight, it's not by their works. It's not by what they did. But it's what He did upon the cross of Calvary. Thank God for the grace of the Lord. And that's all we can tell. That's all we can give is the grace of God. Let's stand tonight if you will.